Attention, men. Are you wanting to break free from porn or other unwanted sexual behaviors, but finding it seemingly impossible to quit? If so, we can help. My name is Jonathan Daugherty, the founder of Gateway to Freedom. This 3-day workshop is for any man who wants to overcome any kind of unwanted sexual behavior. So whether you're married, single, or divorced, this powerful and proven intensive weekend will help you uncover what is at the root of your struggle and discover the man God always created you to be. Space is limited, so call us today at 210-822-8201 to register. That's 210-822-8201, or visit bebroken.org/GTF.
I had a missing piece to the puzzle, to the plan. Yeah, I just kept getting to that, again, what I call the frontline moment. And what happened was, you know, I'm a learner. I love reading books. I love listening to podcasts. And I stumbled across this phrase in a completely unrelated topic. This phrase, allow the urge. I was like, that's very strange and the complete opposite of what I've been trying to do for the last 20 plus years.
Good day, friends. Jonathan Daugherty here with another episode of the PSR podcast, which is a listener-supported outreach of Be Broken Ministries. In today's episode, I sit down with Dan Johnson, who's the creator of the Path Plan, and he opens up about his decades-long struggle with pornography addiction. Dan shares his personal journey from his first encounter with porn in seventh grade to a pivotal confession to his wife in 2019. He then introduces his practical recovery tool, the Path Plan, which is a simple 4-step method designed to help men navigate the very moment of temptation without shame or giving in to urges. Dan also highlights the importance of community, mental rehearsal, and having strong personal reasons to pursue freedom. To learn more about Dan and his resources, visit heisfree.me. For additional resources, you can visit our website at bebroken.org, and we're going to put some links in today's show notes to help you with your next steps. And of course, friends, we want to encourage you to rate and review the podcast on whatever platform that you download it. Now, let's go ahead and dive into today's super hopeful and practical conversation with Dan. Well, all right, we have with us today Dan Johnson. So, Dan, welcome to the program.
Thanks, Jonathan. Really appreciate you having me on. I'm excited for the conversation.
Yeah. So, you know, I always love connecting with other people that are working in this, you know, in this field, especially that are wanting to help men, you know, break free from their unwanted sexual behaviors, whether it's pornography or any other kinds of acting out. And I especially love it when I come across folks that have really developed something that has a super practical nature to it. Like, because especially men, especially, are always going, but what do I do? What do I do? Now, we understand that the journey of recovery from unwanted sexual behavior is going to include a lot more than just what do I do, like in terms of behavior. But there's still a huge aspect to it of like, okay, what do you do in the battle? Like in you know, when you're hit with temptation or you're wanting to be lured back into your old ways. And so we're going to address that today. But before we actually get to what you've developed and what you call your path plan, tell us a little bit about your own journey and kind of what led you then to create this plan to help men pursue freedom.
Yeah, thanks, Jonathan. I feel like my story is pretty typical in the sense that, you know, I grew up in a Christian home. I have wonderful parents. I had a wonderful childhood. I have an older brother. He and I reminisce about our childhood all the time, you know, constantly quoting old cartoons and movies that we grew up on. So we both had just a wonderful childhood in a Christian home. And then, you know, kind of the typical thing of I was in seventh grade, I think, and I grew up in the early 80s. So the internet was kind of coming out when I was maybe 11, 12. And when I was in junior high, I was over at a friend's house. He had kind of a brand new Sony computer, and he showed me some pictures on his computer and, you know, of nude women. And I was just like floored. I thought it was the most amazing thing ever. I wanted more of it. Eventually, we got the internet in our house, and I kind of found ways to just, you know, download images and eventually videos, and just struggled pretty much all throughout high school. I was never really caught, but struggled all through college, into my mid-20s. I eventually joined the Air Force, and this wasn't the primary reason I joined it, but in the back of my mind, I was thinking, okay, I'm going to be in basic training for like 2 months, no computer. Maybe this will kind of a side benefit. Maybe this will also kind of break the addiction. So, you know, I joined the Air Force in my mid-20s. And, you know, after basic training, they give you your computer back. And I just hopped right back on the bike and continued right on with my addiction. And, you know, eventually met my now wife and confessed to her about it before we got engaged. Went into the marriage with a good plan, got the filters in place, but I would still kind of struggle. And kind of as guys know, when you're hit with that temptation, if you have filters up, if you get hit with that temptation, you will find a way to scratch that itch. And I would do that. I would look for different ways to scratch the itch and do periodic confessions to my wife. And you know, I had accountability as well. I always had a few close friends that knew about it and that kind of hold each other accountable. And so it was just kind of, I was just kind of struggling along. You know, we had our first daughter. And then shortly after we had our daughter, we got an iPad, and we never put filters on the iPad. And eventually it kind of dawned on me, I have unfiltered access now with this iPad. So eventually got back into full on porn and was kind of stuck in that for a few years, you know, completely unknown to my wife. And then it kind of came to a head when we were in the process of adoption and we were adopting our second daughter. And for anyone who's gone through the adoption process, there's a stack of papers about a foot high that you have to go through and fill out and answer. And one of the questions, it floored me, but one of the questions was, do you have you had any problems with pornography use or any pornography addiction or something? And I saw that and my heart just started racing because I was just like, okay, this is it. I need to come clean. That was Super Bowl Sunday, 2019. And we watched the Super Bowl at some neighbor's house that night. And I was watching the game, but not seeing anything that was happening because in the back of my mind, I'm like, okay, I know what I need to do after this game is over. So I told my wife, very, very hard conversation, as guys know that I've had to kind of do a full confession like that. And, I'll pause here in a second, but you know, that was kind of a turning point. Shortly after that, my wife kind of, she was listening to a podcast. She discovered Pure Desire Ministries. I joined a group here in Charlotte, North Carolina. And I was doing all the things that I needed to do. I was in a really amazing group, a few different groups that I was in through Pure Desire. I was diving into my past, diving into my past wounds, and I was even seeing a sexual addiction therapist. I had the filters, but I would still get to what I call those frontline moments where if I was alone, I would still get hit with that temptation, with that urge, with that desire, and I just couldn't, I didn't know what else to do. I would get to that moment, I would still look for ways to scratch that itch. And I was just at a loss. I was like, what else can I possibly do? I'm checking all the boxes, you know? And so I'll pause there, but that's kind of a short version of my journey, and then up to the point where I kind of stumbled across and kind of developed the path plan.
Yeah. So talk a little bit about, because in your story, we have a lot of men who will listen who are married and can identify with that moment where there's a realization that I have to confess this to my wife. I'm going to have to bring this forward. Like, if there's going to be any hope for us to, for not only for me to be well, but for our relationship to be well, I'm going to have to confess that. What was that like? And how did your wife respond? And then kind of maybe also, was that any part of the motivation for then you developing this path plan when you realized I've got a stuck point here, but I've got more to live for than just my own integrity, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, yeah, great questions. What it was like, it was scary. I was very scared. I didn't know how she was going to respond. And I mean, when I told her, she, you know, she didn't blow up or anything. She kind of handled it in the moment, I think, as well as anyone can handle it. But she kind of told me later that that was probably the angriest she ever felt at me, you know, understandably so. And it was a lot of trust that was broken, a lot of hurt, a lot of, you know, as guys know that are going through this, just, you know, a lot of conversations, definitely kind of removing access to the iPad and making sure that all the filters were back in place. So yeah, I mean, it was scary. I just knew without a doubt that I had to do it though, regardless of the consequences, but it was really tough. And I just still, even just talking about it, I just feel so really, it hurts knowing how much I hurt her and how much trust was broken.
Yeah. Yeah. And then you mentioned you kind of get to this stuck point where you just said it, you had all the filters, all the blocks, all the things in place. And there's an aspect to that that is actually positive, right? Like, hey, let's try to make it really hard on ourselves to go to the areas that we're used to go to. But what I hear you saying is, but I realized that alone wasn't helping me as much in the immediate moment of when temptation would come. And it's like there's an overwhelming wave that can hit us sometimes where we go, I will break through any barrier that I've made, right? To try to find a way to get to what I used to do. So talk to us about how you began to start to develop what you now call the path plan.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And 100% agree. Like all those things, there's, as you know, there's like multiple aspects to this struggle, to this journey, to achieving freedom. There's multiple aspects and all those things were very, very good. You know, the filters, the accountability, the community, diving into my past, those are all super important. To me, the way that I kind of see it now looking backwards is I had a missing piece to the puzzle, to the plan. And so, yeah, I just kept getting to that, again, what I call the frontline moment. And what happened was, you know, I'm a learner. I love reading books. I love listening to podcasts. And I stumbled across this phrase in a completely unrelated topic. This phrase, allow the urge. I was like, that's very strange and the complete opposite of what I've been trying to do for the last 20 plus years. It's like, okay, allow the urge. And I kind of, the next time I felt tempted, you know, it would usually happen like if my wife was out and I was alone in the evening. I tried to do that. And instead of trying to push the urge away, that temptation away, you know, like you said, you described it perfectly. It's this welling up inside of me. Instead of trying to stuff it back down or trying to do battle against it, what if I just let it be there? I'll just give that a shot. And it blew my mind because it was, again, the complete opposite of what I was doing. It's uncomfortable, but it was a radical shift that happened. It felt like I was letting it almost burn a little bit. And then eventually it kind of burnt, it would burn out. And it felt like when I just kind of let it be there without trying to make it go away, kind of sprinkling in some compassion on myself for feeling it, it was a completely different experience. It didn't feel like a battle anymore. It felt like, okay, I can do this. I can, you know, take some breaths, kind of go about my day. And I did that for a few weeks, and I just had a few massive victories, and it was exhilarating and it was exciting. And I was like, after just a few weeks of trying this, I was like, this is it. This is the missing piece. And for me, like you said at the beginning, I'm a very practical person for everything in life. I'm like, okay, what do I do? What do I do with this? You know, spirituality, all these different things. Okay, but what do I do? And so with this, I needed something practical. And so I just naturally turned it into 4 steps. And I want it to be memorable. So I turned it into an acronym, PATH. And so that's kind of how it came about. And then since then, it's like, that was the summer of 2020. So over 5.5 years ago. And I still use it for today. I use it if I have the urge for Ben and Jerry's ice cream at 11:30 at night. You know, it's so yeah, it's completely changed my life.
So Dan, why don't you just then take us through what are the 4 steps in your PATH process? Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So anytime I felt the urge, anytime you feel that temptation, that welling up of desire, the very first thing that I recommend doing is always pause. So the P stands for pause. Pause and take a breath. So when you feel that urge hit you, the first thing you want to do is just stop what you're doing, pause, and take a breath. And that's super simple, takes 5 or 10 seconds. And then immediately the next step, A, acknowledge, is simply acknowledging the feeling that you're having. You simply name it. And all I do is just say, okay, I'm noticing that I'm feeling the urge right now, or I'm feeling tempted. Super simple. Those first 2 steps, again, literally take 10 to 15 seconds. But what that does is it kind of grounds you, it kind of recenters you into a place where you're ready for the next step, which is kind of where the rubber meets the road, which is the T step. So T stands for timer. And so what I recommend doing is set a timer for 10 minutes, or if you're first starting out, you can just set it for 3 minutes or even 5 minutes, just to kind of try it out. You're setting a timer on your phone, microwave, wherever. And what you're doing while the timer is going off is you're simply going about your day or your evening, continuing to do what you were doing before, or what you would have done if you hadn't felt the urge. But you're allowing the urge and that temptation to be there. You're letting it be felt. You're not giving into it. You're not trying to make it go away. You're not trying to change it. And again, this might seem like it was a complete foreign concept to me, but that's why you could just start with 3 minutes, but you're just letting the urge be there, letting it be felt, going about your day. A lot of guys sometimes will ask, okay, am I just sitting there thinking about the urge? Absolutely not. Just go about your day, let it be felt. And I'll just say quickly, what you start to realize is it's uncomfortable, and that's all. Mm-hmm. There's really nothing. If you start to learn, okay, kind of like a good workout. It's like, you can learn to be okay with the discomfort. And what it feels like is you're actually letting it burn out. You're actually kind of processing this feeling. It's a feeling. That's all it is. And feelings are meant to be felt. They're not meant to be followed. They're not meant to be fought. They're just meant to be felt. So that's what you're doing during the T step. That's kind of where, again, where the rubber meets the road. The P and the A step sets you up for that, kind of gets you in a good place. Set a timer for 3, 5, eventually 10 minutes. Let the urge be there. when the timer goes off, H stands for, I call it high five yourself. You want to record the win. You want to high five yourself. Not literally, you can if you want to, but what you mainly want to do is record the win somewhere. You know, keep a freedom journal and write down, hey, got a notch to win with the path plan. Or some guys will get a glass jar and put a marble or a rock in every time they get a win. I personally recommend not tracking your streak. You know, I went 10 days, I went a week, I went a month. I recommend tracking your wins, track your victories. And then what that does is that makes it more likely that you'll do it again next time, because it gives you that little, you know, little celebration. Oh man, that felt good. You pat yourself on the back. That makes it more likely that you'll do it next time. So that's the path plan. Pause, acknowledge, timer, high five. And that's what I recommend doing every time you feel tempted.
That's so good. And you know what? You know what's amazing about this, and maybe you've even recognized this in yourself, as this has been something that you've been doing for over 5 years now, is isn't it amazing how some of the best tools that we can have are really simple? Like, they're not super complex. And in fact, Dan, as you were talking, there were several things that came to my mind that went right back to scripture and things where it's like, well, 1 Corinthians 10:13, which gets talked about all the time, about the idea that no temptation has seized you except what's common to man, and God is faithful. He won't allow you to be tempted beyond what you can bear, but when you are tempted, promises a way of escape so that you can stand up under it. What did you just say? Sometimes we've been taught, like in our Christian faith, to go, man, if you have certain feelings, then inherently your only recourse is to push them away, deny them, deflect. And what is that verse telling us? No, God is saying he's going to be faithful. And while he gives you a way of escape, he doesn't say the temptation will go away. He says he gives you give you what you need to stand up under it, which is what? I may need a 10-minute timer, right? To stand up under this until just that it starts to dissipate and fade. Another thing that I thought about when you got to the high five was how many times throughout God's history with his people, both in the Old and New Testament, would always talk about memorializing, like remembering how God, the victories, the things that God has done in their lives. I mean, we remember it as New Testament believers in the communion, right? The fact that, oh my goodness, I'm remembering, and we have a physical remembrance of that. So your idea of, hey, a marble or a rock or something to remember, guess what? God gave me a victory there. And I didn't have to be so overwhelmed by what, when the urge first hits us, that's where the panic sets in, right? Because we think, I only know my history with this urge, and it's always going into bad places. But when you start to realize, like, your method helps, that maybe that urge, that feeling, isn't as threatening as I've imagined it to be. And so can you talk about that a little bit, just even in your own personal experience over the last 5 years, of how that has maybe changed your entire attitude towards temptation and the things that can still hit you today?
Yeah. So I have a couple ways that I think about this. Number one, you know, talking to guys, one common phrase that'll come up is, you know, I tried to use the plan, but it just got too intense. And my question is always, okay, what does that mean? It got too intense. Tell me more about that, because this is unspoken, but what we assume and believe is that intensity equals authority. And I don't know if you ever watched the show The Office. Yeah. I compare the urge to Dwight Schrute. He is very intense. You know, he'll barge into Michael's office and, Michael, we got to do this. You know, the employees are doing this and all that. He's not the manager, though. He's the assistant to the manager. And he's got zero authority, but he's very intense. But that's how I think about the urge. There is no level of intensity, you know. Hopefully this doesn't sound like harsh or anything, but there's no amount of intensity that can force our hand to do anything. Mm-hmm. You know, there's no, when you start to, for me, when I started to see the urge as nothing more than a feeling in my body, you know, it's triggered by thoughts. The thoughts, the feelings, two different things, you know, thoughts in the mind, feelings in the body, they interact with each other. But the power, you know, the intensity is the feeling in the body. And when I start to just think about it as, okay, well, what is it? What is this thing? You know, for guys listening, like I encourage you, just do an experiment sometime. Next time you feel tempted, whether it's today, tonight, tomorrow, in a week, just pause for a second and just look at that temptation for a second. Don't look at the porn, but look at what is this thing that's wreaked so much havoc in my life? And the more I boil it down, it's nothing more than a combination of physical sensations in the body. And that's just kind of, it's helpful for me to think about it like that, to really boil it down and ask, what is this thing that I can't say no to sometimes? Well, maybe I can handle it. Maybe it's just Dwight Schrute.
Yeah. And would you say too, that when you start to have that kind of attitude towards the urges and the temptations, that then you start to recognize how much value these other things that you're doing in your recovery, of setting boundaries, of looking into your past, of all that, start to make sense, because you maybe start to see where maybe some of the underpinnings of those urges or underpinnings of those temptations might be based on past wounds or just trauma or whatever else. So can you talk a little bit about that, about how this actually fits into other models of what's necessary in recovery?
Yeah. So one of the reasons why I really love the path plan, or any kind of plan where you're kind of just letting the urge be there, is it's kind of a back door into starting to look into your internal world. Because you're kind of letting, you're practicing letting the feeling be felt, and it kind of starts to open up the door, open up the window into what's going on in your internal world. You start to look inward a little bit more, and so that lends itself, and it's super important to have, you know, self-compassion. You know, if you can't allow the urge and let it be there if you see it as, you know, something that shouldn't be there, right? And if you have kind of a compassionate stance towards it, that opens the door to other things that are inside of you, you know, that are triggering traumas, things like that. It starts to shift your stance towards one of compassion and curiosity for everything that's inside of you, mm-hmm. you know, and you start to look at your loneliness that way, or sadness, or anger. You know, this has been transformational for me when it comes to, you know, anger that's come up, or, you know, when I just feel down or depressed, you know, because those are feelings too. It's like, well, where is this coming from? So, the path plan is kind of, again, I don't tell guys this, but it's kind of a back door into looking at your entire internal world with just a good, helpful stance, again, of curiosity, of compassion.
Yeah. And so this is a very particular tool for kind of the moments when you are feeling the overwhelming urge. But let's talk about some other things that you have to try to help a guy go beyond just the moment. You have something called the Frontline Toolkit. Can you share a little bit about what that is and why the components of that toolkit are essential and how they actually work together?
Yeah, you bet. So the Frontline Toolkit, it's three core tools. One of them is the path plan, and then two what I call bonus tools as well. But it's kind of a collection of five tools total. They all point to, they're all still for the frontline moments. But what I found is, let's say you have the best plan in the world. Let's say you have a plan and someone says, hey, I guarantee you, if you do these steps, you'll never struggle with porn ever again. Okay, so a guy has this plan. He's like, all right, great. I'm going to use it every time I'm tempted. So he gets to that moment where he's alone and he's tempted. But sometimes what can happen is, even if you've made these promises, you've got this plan, we can slip into what I call zombie mode sometimes, where we get hit with that welling up of desire. Our thinking brain shuts down immediately. And kind of like robots or zombies, we go right into the behavior of porn. And the way that you know that you slipped into zombie mode is afterwards, if you ask, how did that even happen? Mm-hmm. Sometimes we just slip into zombie mode. So the second tool, the first tool of the frontline framework is the path plan for every urge. The second tool is for reducing zombie mode. And the best, I did this without even thinking about it back when I first started the path plan, but the best tool that I've found by far for that is what's called mental rehearsal. And so this is, I recommend doing this daily. It takes 1 to 2 minutes. In the morning, just, you know, you can do it while you brush your teeth, you can do it while you're showering, or you can sit down and actually close your eyes and think about it. But take a minute and ask, okay, today, when will I likely feel the urge? You will get an answer immediately because this is such a predictable struggle. You will know exactly when that will likely be. And then you just quickly think about, okay, when that happens, all right, I'm going to implement these 4 steps. And you just kind of picture yourself briefly implementing those 4 steps. This, they've done tons of studies on this. This greatly increases the chances that you will stay aware and present when the temptation hits and actually do it. You know, it's like Tiger Woods picturing the putt going in, or Michael Jordan picturing the game-winning shot. It increases the chances of it actually happening. So that's the second tool, mental rehearsal, to actually increase the chances of implementing the plan. Does that make sense?
Yeah, yeah. Well, okay. Some of the way you're talking about it makes me think of the old, you know, Mike Tyson quote, everybody has a plan until they get punched in the mouth.
Right, right? So exactly.
You got to have more tools than just a single, like, this is all I'm ever going to have to do. It's like, well, but what if I get punched in the mouth in a different way? It's like, what else can enhance, or what other tools do I have in the arsenal to help me respond well, right?
Exactly. Yep. So, yes. Tool number one, path plan for every urge. Tool number two, mental rehearsal every day for, again, it takes a minute or two. All the tools that I have to have, they have to be easy and they have to be fast. So mental rehearsal, just when will I likely feel that urge today? Okay, boom, you've skyrocketed your chances of actually implementing the plan. So let's say for the third tool then, let's say, you know, you have your plan, okay, you've implemented, you've done mental rehearsal, you get punched in the mouth with that urge, and you're like, okay, I have my plan, I'm aware, I'm ready to implement my plan. But sometimes we can either verbally or non-verbally ask, but why? Why should I use my plan instead of viewing porn? I know the pleasure that porn will give me. Why should I do that? And so sometimes we won't implement the plan, even though we have a good plan. We're aware in that moment. We need to be able to answer the question why. And for most guys listening, I'm sure they can answer that question. You know, they can say, well, I mean, my relationship is at stake, or I've lost relationships, or this is preventing relationships. This is, you know, killing me with shame and guilt and all these things. But what I recommend for this, and this is what I call, basically we need reasons, and we don't just need reasons. We need power reasons, what I call power reasons. You need to define them. I recommend writing them down. This takes 15 minutes, one time. Write down the negative things that porn is causing in your life. You know, the hard things, those are the easy things to write down, right? The pain that is causing, or that it will continue to cause if you remain stuck. But then the other side of the coin that most guys don't do are what I call positive reasons. if you are a free man, what could be possible for you?
Mm-hmm.
What's, you know, think about the time, the creativity that will be unleashed, the mental bandwidth, the confidence that you'll feel, the relationships that might open up. Write those things down too. And then just choose one or two from both sides, the negative and the positive reasons. And then again, to me, freedom, the freedom journey is a daily journey. So again, take one or two, and then every morning, read them. It takes 1 or 2 minutes. And the most important thing is you have to feel them. And you have to feel them daily, because what I say is every morning you wake up with an empty tank. You can feel those reasons really, really intensely on Monday, but Tuesday, you wake up with an empty tank. For some reason, those reasons don't transfer over to the next day. You got to be reminded of them and feel them on a daily basis. So that's what I call the power reasons. That's the third tool. Mental rehearsal and power reasons, the tools number 2 and 3, those are for every day. It takes 2 or 3 minutes every morning. The path plan is for every urge.
That's really good. That's really good. So I have a couple more questions before we wrap up here. One is, because this is really helpful, and I think a lot of guys who are especially like concrete thinkers that go, yes, I want a very specific plan. I love the fact that you're talking in seconds and minutes and like, you know, like these are things that I can just do every day. What are some of the most common pitfalls, though, for men when they're trying to break free? Maybe they're trying to break free on their own. Because the other thing I want to ask is, how does this integrate into the mindset of we need each other on this journey? What is the danger if guys say, thanks, Dan, I'll go take this and I'll go keep being isolated and disconnected and have no real relationships with other men. And somehow I'm going to be totally good with just your tools. Why is that maybe a dangerous mindset to have?
Yeah. So my view on community is, can you achieve freedom? Can you really become a free man without it, without community? Probably, but it's going to be 10 times harder. So why would you even try? So I think community is a hugely important ingredient. I mean, not only for your freedom, but I mean, just, you know, I've been in multiple groups, and just the, gosh, I mean, just walking through this with other guys, talking about stuff in a circle that you don't talk about anywhere else, like just the camaraderie, the brotherhood, the friendships that are built, doing it on your own, it's not only going to be 10 times harder, but you don't get to experience some of those really wonderful things. I mean, this is a really tough struggle to go through. The community is just one way to, you know, get some positive things as you're on the journey. So can you do it without community? Go ahead. Yeah.
And it might deceive us into thinking that the goal is sobriety or like just not acting out instead of like abundant life. Like we were made for like fulfilled, full, rich life. And so it's the difference between kind of a goal of attrition versus like a goal of I'm made for purpose and fulfilled life. And that purpose really is only fulfilled in relationship. I mean, we can't experience the fullness of life as it was intended without connecting with other people. So Dan, this has been a great conversation. Where can guys go to learn more about your plan and get more information from you?
Yeah, they can get the plan for free at heisfree.me. And I have a podcast. They can find it there. I have all the tools that I've made. They're completely free in an online community that I have. But yeah, if they go to heisfree.me, they'll get it all there.
That's awesome. We'll be sure to put that in the show notes for everybody to get to. But Dan, again, thank you for being with us today and sharing your wisdom on what you've learned that really helps in that moment of temptation.
Well, thank you, Jonathan. I really admire the work that you've been doing all these years as well. So thank you for the work you do.
Yeah. Well, listeners and viewers, we're glad that you've been with us. We want to help you take your next best step to wholeness in Christ. And so please reach out to us And we look forward to seeing you back here again next time on the Pure Sex Radio program. Take care.